Welcome to Purple Politics, Nevada. I'm your host, Lucia Starbuck. The name refers to the fact that the state isn't red or blue, it's both. Today, we're talking about the issues that matter most to Black voters in Northern Nevada. The community members I spoke with said their top issues are upholding democracy, the high cost of living, and education. And we break down the misconception that this voting bloc is a monolith. Black voters are responding in different ways to seeing the first Black woman become a presidential candidate for a major political party. First, I caught up with two sisters, Reno resident Cheryl Collins, a U.S. Army veteran, and her sister, Beverly Johnson, a California resident who's knocking on doors for the Harris Walz campaign here in Nevada. When I first met them at a rally in support of Vice President Kamala Harris shortly after President Joe Biden dropped out, they wore matching red, white, and blue shirts that said dictator or democracy. Cheryl and Beverly, thank you so much for joining me today. So we first met at an energetic event for Vice President Kamala Harris. Beverly, you literally spent part of your birthday at this event. Why are you guys so fired up about Harris? Beverly, let's have you start.
It's just not fired up about Harris. It's fired up about the state of our country. I believe in a democratic country. I don't want Trump to win. Kamala Harris has already proven that she's experienced. I don't feel fearful with her because she hasn't proven that she has any ties with autocrats like Trump has. I think it is my responsibility as a patriot to be involved to save our country. I love America. I love democracy. I love having the freedom to choose. I'm a grandmother now, so I'm not having any children, but I am concerned about other women, girls, my granddaughters, my great-granddaughters, and I want them to have the same rights that I had, not less rights. I'm also a retired labor relations representative. Project 2025 really concerns me. All of the rights that people fought for years, to make sure that workers were safe, the right to organize, a union. All of those rights are in jeopardy. That's one of the main reasons why I'm voting for Harris. She's compassionate, and she cares about middle-class working people.
Cheryl, what are your thoughts?
With the military, that's a big thing. I'm a veteran. And to hear Trump talk about service members who had paid the ultimate price, suckers and losers. He doesn't understand service because he's all about being served. I would have voted for Biden. I've always voted on a Democrat ticket because I believe in the Democrat principles and policies. After high school for me, I received Social Security from my deceased father. It used to be that you could receive Social Security up to the age of 22 as long as you were a college student. When Reagan came into office, he rolled that back to the age of 19 or graduating from high school. Why wouldn't you want to have a more educated country? I was born poor, and I know what happened when the Civil Rights Act became law and what it did for Black people and other minorities and the Voters' Rights Bill. It was a Democrat, LBJ. And I don't mind, I believe in capitalism, to have the opportunity to become rich in this country. I believe in that. I am, too, a retired union worker from the largest communications union, and that's CWA. I have been on strike on that picket line fighting for benefits. With me getting that job, I made more money than I had in other jobs that I had worked. Yeah, I believe in building a middle class.
Harris has laid out some of her policy proposals for the economy, like supporting small business owners, funding for first-time homeowners, her stance on immigration. But I'm curious, is there anything that you think is missing from her message or her platform right now? Cheryl, what do you think?
Well, I would like to hear her talk about voting rights. Those were some things in 64 that we got the voting rights, how it's being attacked, because that would get rid of some of this where people don't have voices. And within immigration, she did mention about having a pathway to citizenship. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to hear her talk about the George Floyd Policing Act. If you're a bad officer in this state, that you can't move across the other part of the state and be rehired.
Or another state.
That's it. Your career's all over.
Another thing I would like to see her talk more about is dealing with homelessness and people with mental problems. I think there should be more drug facilities for people with drug problems so that can offset homelessness too. And making houses affordable also addresses that issue. Not just with houses, but rent control. And I know she said she was going to deal with the price gouging.
Beverly, where are you guys feeling the price of goods the most? Where is it most painful?
Well, food, of course, but I haven't really considered that because it could be a hell of a lot worse. I could only imagine what it would be like if we were still dealing with COVID. I recognize that the prices are slowly going down, so I'm not as concerned about paying a dollar more for a dozen of eggs. I'm more concerned about our country as a whole, our democracy, our freedom.
Why is democracy so important to you?
Because we're the only country that's been able to do it. And that's why people want to come here. Having been a descendant of a slave, freedom is important. To be able to own your own body, not having government tell you what to do with your own body, that's slavery. So that's why democracy is important to me.
Safeguarding democracy is also an issue Democratic Assemblywoman and State Senate candidate Angie Taylor is bringing with her to the voting booth in November. And it's something she hears from voters all over the political spectrum when she knocks on doors on the campaign trail. Thank you so much for joining me, Assemblywoman Taylor. So you've been very vocal about your support for Kamala Harris. Yes. Why are you standing with her?
I think it's really important that character matters, knowing that we have a leader who espouses the values in this country, biggest value being that of democracy, protecting that and really elevating that, not when it works for you, but just because that's who we are as Americans and just honoring that. I think that she represents a positive outlook and direction for our country. I think as a whole, we want to be able to hold our heads up and feel good about who we are. It's like that's American pride. It doesn't mean that we don't have things we need to work on. But I think a message that isn't just beating everything and everyone down over the head, it's the human condition to want to know that better days are ahead. I think that's really critically important. And then, of course, there's a personal sense of pride because she looks like me. Being an African-American female or being a black woman and being the woman that has even her Asian roots, it's cool to think that, hey, there can be a president that is really biracial, which is also a good picture and snapshot of who we are as Americans.
You and Harris have both broken barriers in your political careers. You're the first black assemblywoman to represent Northern Nevada. Harris was the first black woman to be California Attorney General, vice president, and now a presidential nominee for a major political party.
Right.
How meaningful is this for you?
That's back to really personal pride. I mean, this speaks to part of why we love America so much and why other people love this thing that we call the American dream. The epitome of that, that probably hasn't colored all of who she is. It hasn't colored all of who I am. No pun intended, right, with color. But certainly it's a part of who we are. It's a really good message, I think, for young people. She had that picture of her niece watching her on TV giving that great speech, right? And in such a small way, I remember when I was appointed to the school board back in 2014, my great nephew was watching it on TV in Southern California. They figured out a way to get it and pick it up as a news conference. Yeah, my nephew took a picture of his son watching me on TV. I felt that same sense of pride, is like, wow, because I want them to believe that you can do this too.
Harris, alongside her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, just did their first major televised interview. Yeah. She was pushed on her platform on immigration and fracking. She's faced a little bit of criticism for not putting out major policy proposals. Is there anything you want to see her talking about? Is there anything you feel that is missing right now?
You know, I think that because this has been such a truncated campaign, in fact, campaigns are getting longer and not shorter. It's going to be a little different. You would really want to be thoughtful about the specifics of any policy. And honestly, she just hasn't had a lot of time. I'm okay with what I've heard from her from a general standpoint. Yeah, I can contrast that with her opponent. There aren't a lot of specifics there either. I'm not bothered by, here's some things she said as a candidate back in 2019. And now she's like, oh, hey, you know what? I see that differently as a presidential candidate. I love that she said, hey, my values haven't changed. She didn't say it this way. I wish she had said, but my perspectives on what that means or what that should look like or how the best way to get there, they have been adjusted because I saw some things. I learned some things. I talked to some people.
I spoke to the Reno Sparks NAACP president, and when I asked her what she thinks is the biggest issue facing the Black community, she said civic engagement. Are you seeing the same thing?
That's a good point. What I find, not only because we're 3% of the population, but what I find is there's more work for us to do in the Black community in terms of helping people understand, man, this really impacts you. And I think traditionally, a lot of times you got a lot of information about those kinds of things in churches. And it's still a big part of our community. But back in the day, everybody was connected to a church. So we don't have that base. I know that there is an interest, but people don't really know how do I get involved in terms of the more of us that get on the ballot, that helps as well. Running for office isn't easy. Get on a commission. But the last thing I will say is this. I understand because I'm in the state assembly. Hopefully I'll be in the state senate. But even the role that I play now, there's a tremendous sense of pride in the Black community because of where I've been able to get to. It matters in a different kind of way. Think about it. It makes a difference when you look at certain levels and you don't see anyone that looks like you, and then all of a sudden you do. That's pretty cool. It's like we, not I got there, we got there. There's a weight that comes with that, but I understand that.
So how are Black voters feeling across the country, and how are they viewing the presidential candidates? I checked in with Michael Minta, a political science professor at the University of Minnesota. His areas of study include U.S. government and African American politics.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, Michael. This month, the country watched the first and likely only presidential debate between Harris and Trump. How are Black voters in the U.S. reacting to it? What have you been hearing?
There's a lot of excitement and obviously a lot of enthusiasm within the Black or African-American community regarding Kamala Harris's candidacy. There's a lot of energy. A lot of people want to volunteer. People are donating. You've heard about all these different Zoom calls. Black women are having calls. Black men are having calls. Latinos for Harris. And I think Democrats are hoping that energy will show up on Election Day and in these early voting states too. But they're also mindful that there's some issues they think that I've heard from some Black voters that she may not be focusing enough on the economy and how it's impacting the African-American community, inflation, all the kind of standard issues that you see people saying that are important. African-Americans believe those issues are important too.
Recent polling shows that Trump continues to gain support from Black men. What's contributing to that?
Blacks in general are supportive of the Democratic candidates, but there is this divergence between Black men and Black women. So first of all, I think there's this disillusion with the system, right? We've been voting for Democrats all these years, and what have they really done to change my life? I'm still more likely to be incarcerated, pulled over by the police, followed around, fired from my job, get a low wage paying job. Some of these hip-hop artists like 50 Cent and even Lil Wayne, they've argued that Trump has done stuff in terms of criminal justice reform, in terms of pardoning people. And not to mention Donald Trump, he's been around for a long time. People remember him as this famous guy who's made a lot of money. Young people kind of like his swagger. People don't really dig into the issues and some of the things that Trump and the Republican Party represent that may be in opposition to the African-American community.
Do you think Harris's record as a prosecutor is turning people off?
I think it does hurt her, that issue of a prosecutor. Although I see why Democrats are using it in terms of Trump and the many court cases that he's had. And he's made these statements that Black people relate to me because they feel that the criminal justice is being used as a weapon against them. Also, Harris, many African-Americans might be suspect of whether or not she's sensitive to the issues or even the language and the messaging that we're going to go after him, we're going to put him in jail. I think that messaging works well in certain communities. And I think with a certain segment of the African-American community, I would imagine particularly younger Black men, they're not necessarily enamored or willing to vote for her because she's a prosecutor.
We know economy is a huge issue here in Nevada. People point to the cost of gas, groceries, utility bills. Is the economy impacting the African-American community in a specific way?
Oh, it's always affecting the African-American community. Look at the rate for unemployment for Blacks. It's usually higher than it is for whites and other groups. The wealth gap is usually greater. The transition into the high-tech economy, wages keeping up with inflationary costs, but there are certain necessities that you need, like housing. I mean, it just makes it very difficult for people to make ends meet.
Also during the debate, there was one specific question about race, where Trump again doubled down, casting doubt on Harris's identity as Black. Harris fired back, saying, "Why are you using race to divide people?" How do you think Black voters are viewing this back and forth? Or is it just political chatter taking away from real issues?
If Trump wasn't around, people said, "Oh, we just need to get rid of Trump and we'll return back to regular politics and conservative values." I just don't know if that's the case. The demographics of our country is changing. You're seeing states like California, Texas, that are majority minority states where whites are not in the majority anymore. The electorate hasn't quite reflected that yet. Which party is going to do a better job of trying to incorporate these underrepresented groups into their party? Democrats are hopeful that the demographic changes are going to help them. Republicans are fearful that it's going to hurt them. You've seen more of an effort by the Republican Party, including Donald Trump, to really kind of talk about this issue of white identity, white Americans that feel like they're losing ground. I do think that there are a lot of things that conservatives are trying to do to kind of institutionalize the advantage. So even if you do have a multiracial, whether it's the Congress, whether it's the courts, that somehow they can make it very difficult for policies that might be favorable to these groups, it might be difficult for them to pass because race is an issue.
You just heard from political science professor Michael Minta, Assemblywoman Angie Taylor, and sisters Beverly Johnson and Cheryl Collins. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you're listening to Purple Politics Nevada. Join us after the short break to hear from more Black voters on why they like Trump, why they're maybe staying home this November, and the solutions they're hoping to see. I stopped by Black Wall Street in Reno. A couple of rooms were stacked with supplies such as diapers, clothes, and food. The nonprofit serves at-risk youth, unhoused, and underserved community members. Next, I'm joined by co-founders Romar Tolliver and Donald Griffin, along with Donald's son, James Griffin, who works there as well. Romar, James, and Donald, thank you so much for joining me. The name of your organization honors what was a thriving Black community in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In 1921, a white mob destroyed Black-owned businesses, churches, homes, killing more than 300 people. Authorities and the media tried to erase what actually happened. So I'm curious now, a century later, do you trust that politicians have your best interests at heart? Romar, let's start with you.
Of course not. But we have to look out for each other as a community, and that's kind of what matters most. At that time, the original Black Wall Street, like you said, it was swept under the rug, almost erased. And us erecting the nonprofit in that name was kind of like a history lesson as well as inspiration to the community. Build on the minds and hearts of the community so we can get back to that blueprint.
Donald, do you think elected officials have your best interests at heart?
I wouldn't say our best interests at heart, but some of the bills that they pass, we can benefit from. And we stay here in reparations, hey, they owe us this, we're still going to be in last place. We have to look at moving forward, what bills are you going to pass that we can benefit from? And when I say we, it's not just Black people, but minorities, businessmen. So I can like one political person and like both of them at the same time, or I can just like the ideas that they're coming up with, and we can combine those into one to be a perfect world.
James, what are your thoughts?
I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, red, blue, purple. I don't think politicians truly have our best interests in mind. A lot of them are self-serving. There are definite outliers that do want to do good by the American people, but I think overall, they don't really have our best interests at heart.
What issues are most important to you as a voter?
I think right now, especially as a member of Gen Z, it has to do with housing costs, you know, the economy itself. I'm just graduating college here really soon, And it seems as though I don't have enough money in my pocket ever. The economy is, it's not really working in my favor right now. It's very hard to live on my own right now. I think that's what really drives me, is just about the amount of money that's in my pocket currently.
Do you know who you'll be voting for president?
Personally, I will be voting for Donald Trump.
And what do you like about Trump?
He's a businessman. I think he's running the country like a business, and any good business is always making money for the people. And so I really think, if anything, he will improve our economy.
And Romar, will you be voting in November?
I will not be voting. I'm busy with my hands full doing community work. I don't think that vote will change anything on the grassroots level. And that's kind of where my focus is at, providing resources and opportunities for the youth and the children in the community.
Is there anything candidates could do to earn your vote between now and November?
No, not to earn my vote, no. But I just would like to see more action from the heart, regardless of their position, political position, local, state level, or national level. Operating from the heart is felt and seen. The good speeches from the stage to get you hooping and hollering, that's the same thing the pastors do in the churches. It's just time to take the power back as a people and do for self.
Romar isn't voting in November. James said he's voting for the first time this election. What about you, Donald?
If I would have to go, it would be on the red side. I believe that a lot of us are voting because, quote unquote, she looks like us. But every person that is skin tone is not our kin, folks. Overall, nobody has done anything for us as a collective, and that won't happen until we start doing it for ourselves again. Other than that, I'm not just going to vote for somebody because she looks like my mother.
How does it feel when people assume you're going to vote one way because of skin color?
It's like a slap in the face, just like Black History Month. Oh, you should be able to vote for her because she's black. Well, no, that's not. I'm a businessman. I'm a man overall. And I like some of the things she says, and I like some of the things that the other party is saying. I get a lot of feedback because I like to post my thoughts. And it's always said how, as a black man, you can do that. And it's like, what do you mean? So that means I should be what every other black man is doing. Well, when the black community needs a lesson on how to vote, your opinion is more than welcome. I had some feedback from the Hispanic community like, well, you know, if Donald Trump gets in, that means he's deporting everybody. That doesn't mean that if I vote for Donald Trump, then that's what I want. I have a grandson that is Hispanic.
What are some things you like from Trump, and what are some things you like from Harris?
I like that Harris is talking about, this only benefits me because I have been paying my rent on time all this time. So for the First Time Home Association, some of the things that she's talking about, yes. I totally understand when Trump says they're taking the black job away. That doesn't mean that, oh, this is for the lower class people who's doing this. This means that for like myself, I have a felony. So once upon a time, I was competing against high school students to get this job. Now you're having illegals come over that's working for pennies on the dollar. So now as a felon, I have to compete with the person that's coming over here who's trying to make a living for themselves, and which is, my hats are off to them. And now as an ex-felon, I'm pushed out the way.
Donald, is there anything candidates can do to earn your vote between now and November?
Well, my soul is not for sale.
There is one person who believes it's crucial to get out the black vote, no matter who that ballot is cast for, and to get involved in the political process no matter what. That's Patricia Gallimore, the Reno Sparks NAACP president. Thank you so much for joining me, Patricia. What do you see as the biggest issues facing black community members in Reno and Sparks?
What I see, and what NAACP National also sees, is community engagement, getting involved in the process, knowing the process, in civic engagement, which entails sometimes, and what we have identified, is being registered to vote, knowing what issues are actually in your community, knowing how laws are created, knowing what your city council does, who your elected officials are. We are trying to get that message out to the general populace, especially people of color, African Americans, that you have to know the process. You will get sucked under, and folks will not understand that we're going backwards instead of forward.
Right now, we're at a time where some civil rights are being rolled back, particularly in red states where they're increasing penalties for protesting, restricting voting rights, and even trying to stop racial history from being taught in schools. Do you think there's anything candidates can do to push back against this?
What can candidates do? Vie for education. Make sure that that's part of their platform. And I know that's a very controversial thing. They're going to have a lot of pushback. But stay true to yourself. And even if you don't win that election, To me, integrity is everything. If that's something that you truly, truly believe in terms of education, education for everyone, about everyone in the United States, because we are the melting pot, I would stand with that individual. I'd go out and I'd campaign for those individuals, because the integrity there is that, hey, you stand for education and you want education for all. And when we're talking about history books, that's another dynamic of it as well. Don't call it CRT. No, this is history.
How can candidates better reach and support and appeal to African American voters in Northern Nevada?
Bring out the issues. If they're non-African American, do their homework. Or discussion groups. Let's go out and have coffee. I want to talk to you. I want to pick your brain. Tell me what your issues are as being an African American female, and be open to what the focus groups are saying. And it's okay to say, hey, I didn't know that. It's hard to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes if you're not that person. Let that person tell you what their experience is, what's important to them, whether it be, you know, housing or lack thereof, union jobs, Black maternal health. Talk to us. Come to our communities. Don't outsource your people that you're bringing for your candidacy, for your staff. Get people from the area and learn, knows about the area. Ask the people who those talents are. Involve us in the process. It could take a little time, but you're running for office. You want to represent all your constituents.
Only about 3% of Reno's population identifies as African American. Do you think candidates are paying attention to this community and their priorities?
Yes and no. So we, as the 3% population, have to make them aware of that. That can be the deciding factor in you winning and losing. Candidates might be cognizant of that. I think that we, as African Americans, the only way that we are going to be recognized is we have to show up.
That was Patricia Gallimore, president of the Reno Sparks NAACP. Earlier in the show, you heard from Black Wall Street's Romar Tolliver, father and son Donald and James Griffin, sisters Beverly Johnson and Cheryl Collins, Assemblywoman Angie Taylor, and political science professor Michael Minta. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you're listening to Purple Politics Nevada.